On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, Josh and I continue discussing the best moments of the 2019-2020 season. We get into Kyrie's heroics, Spencer Dinwiddie's heroics, and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
My number four moment from this past season, Kyrie Irving dropping 54 points against the Chicago Bulls. This was a game that took place shortly after the death of Kobe Bryant. I remember Kyrie missed the following game for Brooklyn, and then he came back, and in his first game back after that, he was like okay, and then in this second game that he played after returning, he was absolutely incredible. The first half, especially when he did not miss a shot, he scored 27 points in the first half, and he hit that incredible, like, buzzer-beating deep three. He wound up 19 of 23 from the field, 7 of 9 from 3, 9 of 10 from the line, 54 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. The game itself, like, wasn't particularly close. The Nets won by 15, although the Bulls kind of like had a run in the third quarter where it got a little bit interesting. But this was obviously just like on the list because of Kyrie's incredible performance. He had that 50-point game in the season opener, but that was in a loss, so like definitely left a bitter taste. This one, just kind of pure joy watching him play, and especially like after the death of Kobe, who he was very close to, just to see him shine and recover from that was really special.
Yeah, I mean, this was, like, this has to be up there in terms of, like, greatest one game, like, greatest inconsequential one game offensive performances, because it was spectacular to watch. I mean, think about it. He basically took 23 shots, had 10 free throws. In terms of, like, a points per shooting possession that he took up, basically 2 points per shooting possession. That's insane. Especially, these weren't easy looks. He was hitting off the dribble, deep threes, step back mid-rangers, pulling out his entire layup package. It was incredible to watch. I didn't have this on my list. I probably could have and definitely should have over the Claxton one, if you want to look objectively. But this was probably one of the greatest performances I've ever watched for a Net.
I don't know. Claxton's points per minutes, if you prorate that over a full 48, maybe he's in the same range. So maybe a good call by you, Josh.
For sure.
There was also, I was reading like the recap of this game, and there's just this Jim Boylan quote that made me really laugh. He said, NBA games are spurts games. Brooklyn, that's a spurt team, and they got the final spurt. I don't know. Just
I remember that.
Anyway, I think this was also the second to last game Kyrie played before he like wound up missing like every other game of the season, which is like just another like kind of classic moment this season, in that like even when Kyrie has like this incredible game, this incredible moment, like pretty much right after, yeah, he played in the Washington game.
Yep.
The next day, and then that was it.
Yeah, I was with you watching the Washington game when he got hurt, and then they had that collapse.
Yes. Definitely not as good as the Bulls game.
Not ideal. So, no. Moving on, great performance by Kyrie Irving. This will not be the only time he's on my list, because I have here, I don't have him here right now. He's not on my number four. He's further down the list. But my number four is Spencer Dinwiddie lifting the Nets with a key mid-ranger over the Indiana Pacers. This was a pretty recent game on the road. Indiana, for whatever reason, always has the Nets number. They destroyed us basically twice earlier this year, Sabonis killing us inside. I think either the year before that or 2 years before that, they beat the Nets all four times. They just have our number for whatever reason, and it's just so frustrating, because when you look at their team on paper, especially without Oladipo, it is pretty beatable. And then all of a sudden you have like TJ Warren and Justin and Aaron Holiday just going off, and Jeremy Lamb doing his thing. So it is frustrating, but In this one, Dinwiddie did not have a good game at all. He was 0-7 from 3, was getting to the line a lot, but this is kind of when he was in the midst of his shooting slump and basically was able to, being that Nets guy and kind of their number one option, given that Kyrie was out, had the ball in his hands late, got to his mid-range pull-up spot, which he loves, and was able to knock down the jumper with only 3 seconds left. So huge shot by him. One of, I think you and I both agree that he's had a ton of clutch shots in his Nets career. And even though he sometimes gets flack for trying to get a foul call and not doing so late in games, he has put together a really nice track record of clutch shots and not afraid to take it, and was able to give the Nets a lead in this one when they desperately needed a win in the playoff race in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he was, I think, 3 of 14 at the time of that shot to win the game is like incredible. He was 15 at the line, 15 attempts, that is. And yeah, just like looking back at the box score, I mean, it was 8 guys in double figures for the Nets. So like incredibly balanced. They withstood Sabonis's incredible game. And there was also a moment in this game that I had forgotten about until I looked back at it for this, which was when DeAndre Jordan like missed a free throw, and then Jeremy Lamb like gave him a handshake, and then DeAndre made the second free throw and reached his hand out again, and Lamb did not shake his hand again after that. But that was like a small moment from this game that I had completely forgotten about, but I remember at the time thinking that was so funny.
Not very nice of Jeremy Lamb.
He's kind of a troll.
Yeah, Sabonis averaged 23, 12, and 6 in 3 games against the Nets this year on 59% shooting.
Yeah, I mean, Miles Turner used to be the guy who killed the Nets, and like that was back when it was like him, Cantor, and like Vucevic were like just 3 like random guys who would always get like 40 and 20 against the Nets, and I think Sabonis maybe like took that power, and yeah, he had a triple-double in this game, right?
Did he have a triple-double? Definitely, he might have. I think he had at least like 8 or 9 assists.
Yeah, his skill set is like really unique. It's kind of just like him and Jokic and I guess Bam now, like big guys who can pass that well.
Yeah, no, he did have a triple-double. I think his skill level, especially since he's not trying to go directly at the basket every time, is really nice assortment of kind of floaters and flip shots kind of in the painted area. Can really throw traditional shot blockers like a Jared Allen and DeAndre Jordan off balance.
Yeah, and also just looking at this box score for this game, it was really weird because the Nets shot 40% from the field. The Pacers shot basically 49%, but the Nets just like killed them at the free throw line. And that like aggression specifically from Dinwiddie is like the whole reason they won. And you saw that in that last shot where like even though he's struggled all game, he's still going to be aggressive and still going to take that shot to win the game.
Free throws, baby. That's what we do.
That is Nets basketball. That was on my list as well, Josh. That was my number 3. So do you want to say your third one now?
Yes. Okay. So my third one was the Nets Lakers game.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we're all caught up. We both have 2 left now, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I'll do my number 2. We talked about him already. Kyrie Irving beating the New York Knicks in that early season game. The Nets had built up a huge lead. They were up by 19. They completely blow it in the fourth quarter. They wound up trailing by 3 after a 15-2 Knicks run. But Kyrie, just like he did in the NBA Finals against the Warriors, he hit that kind of sidestep 3 to go ahead with 22 seconds left. Barclays Center was going crazy. And this was just like, there was so much hype in this game, especially because it was so early in the season. And like, I know the Nets had lost the season opener, but like the fact that Kyrie dropped 50, like there was still a ton of hype around this team, still a bunch of expectations. We still liked Torian Prince, I'm sure, at this time. It was a much different atmosphere going into that game. And the fact that it came down to basically the guy who a lot of people thought was going to go to the Knicks, who wound up going to the Nets, and then he was the difference. He made that huge, huge shot and kind of showed the Knicks players and Knicks coaching staff, Knicks fans, like, yeah, you guys could have had this, but instead you have Julius Randle and Alonzo Trier. So a little bit of a step down.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, also, like, the first game of the season against Minnesota, like, Kyrie was magnificent, but it was such a heartbreaking loss. Like, really, really excruciating. It was able to be softened by the fact that I immediately left to go to your improv show, Marcus. That was a nice kind of feather in the cap. But yeah, I mean, any game against the Knicks, like, I know I'm probably, I'm not in the minority. I think every Nets fan has such an inferiority complex to the Knicks and hates them so much that any win against them is just like, we take so much glee in it. And to be in Brooklyn and second game of the season, there's already way too many Knicks fans there. They just kind of come into our turf. The Nets don't have good attendance and kind of fan loyalty right now, or even a fan base. I don't think anyone can argue against that. And then for them to come in with their ragtag group of misfits, and if they were to escape with a victory, it just would have been so, so devastating. And remember, the Nets had a pretty nice lead throughout a good chunk of this game. They had an 11-point lead at halftime. Most of the fourth quarter, it was kind of set 6, 7, 8 points. Then Knox was hitting every three for some reason. Trier was going off and really was tough to stop. Wayne Ellington, who sucked with the Nets, and it makes me so mad that he immediately left us and was really good with the Heat. And then to basically start the season coming off the bench and just throwing up three threes and knocking them in against the Nets in the fourth quarter because Fizdale needed a spark at the time. It was just about to be so frustrating. I was watching with my two roommates who are one's a Knicks fan, one's a Celtics fan, and hates Kyrie, so they're rooting for the Knicks. So I'm prepared to just be miserable, and for Kyrie to basically snatch victory from the jaws of defeat just made me so, so happy. So a lot of this has to do with kind of personal reasons for me, but it was a great moment, and I think in terms of Kyrie's on-the-court play this year, just one kind of shining beacon of what he's able to do. And I think his play on the court certainly didn't disappoint.
Yeah, I mean, the game on the whole was like kind of average for him. It was like 26 points, 5 assists. He shot 8 of 19 from the field, which is like fine. But again, like in those clutch moments, just showing exactly why the Nets got him. And at the time, it seemed like, oh, maybe he's going to like finally do what he couldn't really do with the Celtics and like lead a team in the playoff race and like kind of take them to another level. We didn't get to see that happen, obviously, because of injury and also just because of the team itself being disappointing. But yeah, this was like exactly what I wanted to see from Kyrie in a season like without KD, where there were expectations, but definitely not as many as there probably will be next season for the Nets. And he like completely proved to be like worth it in this game alone. Like that shot at the end was insane. And then giving his jersey to his dad after, just like the whole atmosphere, the whole vibe, like even though the Knicks are terrible and the Nets wound up being kind of just mediocre, it felt like a playoff game.
Is that his Paul Pierce, this is why you brought me here moment?
I hope there's something better than that down the road, but probably for right now, yes, I would say.
Let's hope.
I don't know. Also, it's number two on our list, so I guess that it's probably his most impressive moment of the season.
I don't know. I actually think his most, like, his, between the, like, the clutch shots he had, but, like, when you just look at the body of work in his two 50-point games, the Bulls game and also the season opener against the Wolves, like, those are two fucking phenomenal games that no Net was capable of before this.
Yeah, I mean,
KD.
Yeah, the Bulls game was absurd, but also, yeah, that Minnesota game, like, it got lost because the team lost, but he was just as crazy in that game. Over 50% shooting from the field, 7 of 14 from 3, made almost all of his free throws. Like, he was just as good in that game. It was just the fact that they didn't win, so it did not crack, I don't think, either of our lists, that we haven't revealed your number one or two, Josh.
Yep, and speaking of that, no. There's a pretty consensus number one here.
And Josh and I will reveal that number one on tomorrow's episode. We will be back in your ears to unveil that, as well as some other moments from the season that did not make our list. Join us for that tomorrow. And until then, be well. Bye.